Hello, brothers and sisters. We're continuing to study Peter's first letter. Let me read to you from chapter 2 and verses 13 to 17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. After several days of often violent demonstrations in American cities in connection with the death of George Floyd, and after many weeks across the world of people being asked to submit to the unusual rules of lockdown, Peter's opening words to us today are very striking. Submit yourselves to every human authority. Now, of course, Peter had no idea what our news headlines would be. He's not trying to be topical, but he's speaking about the typical Christian life. The general rule of the road is submit yourself to human authorities. And that applies whatever situation in life we are in. Over the next few weeks, Peter is going to be looking at some of these typical scenarios for us that we face as Christians, but that are hard for us because we live in a fallen world. And Peter's going to be wrestling with the issues this presents. How do you live as a Christian in a horrible work environment, or in a difficult marriage, or even in a grossly imperfect church? Peter's going to be looking at all of these. But he starts with this question of living as a Christian citizen in a society that does not recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ. And in this situation, Peter's opening words may be quite surprising to us. He says, submit yourselves to every human authority. Now, immediately we begin to think of the objections, because we have hearts that don't like authority. That goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But we find ourselves wanting to say, but what about? Well, this is the same Peter who in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, said those famous words, we must obey God rather than men. But Peter is not thinking here primarily of the exceptions. He's writing about the normal Christian life. And he starts, therefore, with this principle, submit yourself to every human authority. Now, that's a very broad statement. It includes authorities of all kind, not just the government, but parents in the home or elders in the church. But then Peter focuses the broad principle down to this narrower area of the emperor and governors and submitting to them. In other words, the state. And Peter wants us to see that God has established these various patterns of authority for human flourishing, so that even in a fallen world, there might be at least some measure of authority, of structure, of order that enables us to live at least an approximation towards a peaceful life. Anarchy never leads to anything good, either in the Bible or in human experience. And because God wants to bless us, not burden us, he gives us authority structures that restrain sinful people in a fallen world. The fact is, we all need to be restrained from our own worst excesses. Here's a little thought experiment that you could do to make this very clear to you. But I suggest you don't do it for more than 5 seconds. At least I don't do it for more than 5 seconds. Just think to yourself, what would I do if I could get away with it? What would I do if it would never be discovered? There would never be any comeback on me. There'd never be any guilt, no shame, no punishment for it. If I could get away with it, what would I do? Brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, I cannot think that way for more than 3 or 4 seconds without breaking the biblical command, which is, fill your mind with things that are good and pure and beautiful. Because if I start thinking about what I would do if I could get away with it, it is not beautiful, it's not pure, it's not good, it is vile, it is evil. And I'm guessing your heart is no better than mine. Sorry if that offends anybody, but that's the reality that we read in the Bible and that we discover in our experience. I horrify myself at how quickly my mind rushes to evil. It is only the grace of God that restrains us. And one of the means that God uses for that restraint is human authority. That is God's mercy. Of course, that does not mean we like it. Do you know any kids who say, Mom, Dad, I just love it when you tell me to put my phone down and go and tidy my room. It's so cool when you tell me I can't go to that all-night party. Thank you. Do you know any kids like that? No, you don't. And it's no different with adults. I've never yet come across the adult who says, I just love speed limits. They save me from my own idiocy. Or who says, these lockdown rules are great. They rescue and protect other people from my selfish behavior. Face the fact, brothers and sisters, sin lives in our hearts, and we need protection from ourselves and from one another. Submitting to authority is, in principle, a great blessing from the God who knows how much we need to be restrained. Now, that does not mean that those in authority always exercise that authority rightly. What God calls them to do is what Peter says in verse 14, to punish evildoers and to reward those who do good, not those who give donations to their political party, but those who do morally good things. Notice that the government has a responsibility here for moral things, right and wrong, not just for material things like the economy. Now, that ideal of government has never been reached. It most certainly wasn't reached in Peter's day. For goodness sake, he lived under the Emperor Nero, who murdered Christians, including Peter himself, in due course. Nor is authority perfectly exercised today, because it's exercised by people who are just as sinful as the rest of us. That is why we don't put our hopes in a political leader or in any political party, because we know that they will fail in this calling from God. Well, God knows that too. Yet he calls us to submit to the authorities so that there might at least be a measure of peace and order in a fallen world. The only exception to submitting to authority is when the authority commands us to sin. And then the words of Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than men, most certainly apply, because there is a higher government than the government. So, for example, during the Holocaust, Corrie ten Boom and her family were right to hide their Jewish neighbors from the Nazis, who commanded that they should hand their neighbors over to them to be murdered. No, we cannot do things like that. The command to submit to the authorities is never an excuse for doing evil, for saying, well, I was only doing what I was told. No, we cannot do that. Peter takes that as read. So he puts in verse 16, don't use your freedom as a cover up for evil. But Peter knows that even in his society under Nero, those issues are relatively rare in the life of most Christians. The government may do many things against the will of God, but when did the government last command you to do something against the will of God? That can happen, and then we must resist. But it doesn't often happen. And so Peter concentrates on the norms of living the Christian life, not the exceptions. Submit yourself to every human authority, whether you agree with all the policies of that authority or not. That means submitting to the rules of lockdown. Now, does all this sound restrictive? Is it making your blood boil? Well, prepare yourself for an almighty paradox. Peter has said at the beginning of verse 13, submit yourselves to every human authority. But at the beginning of verse 16, he says, live as free people, God's free people. Here are Peter's readers in an authoritarian society, but Peter is not trying to keep some sort of repressive lid on them to keep the plebs in their place. Live as free people is his word to us. Oh, Peter, we want to say, come on, how do you submit yourselves to every authority and live as free people? To which Peter replies, you submit freely. That's what you do. You submit freely. What on earth does that mean? Well, it means you submit not because you have to, but because you want to serve. Now, that is a remarkable vision, especially under such a brutal and repressive regime as Nero's regime. How is it possible to live that way? Well, it's because of another element in this paradox. At the beginning of verse 16, Peter says, live as free people. But at the end of verse 16, he says, because you are God's slaves. So line these three things up, brothers and sisters. Try and get your head around this. Submit yourselves to every human authority, but live as free people because you are God's slaves. Submit, live free, you're slaves. How on earth do we get our head around this? Has Peter fried your brain yet? Well, don't panic. Peter is not writing gibberish. This is the word of the Lord, and it makes sense. Let's think it through. Peter is saying that although we submit to the government, we don't belong to the government. We belong to God. We are his greatly loved children. We belong to the God who loves us so much that he gives us everything we need, and he always will. And so our hearts delight to serve and to please our Heavenly Father. That's the new identity we have in Christ. And what Peter says is that when you grasp this, it makes all the difference in the world to how you view your life as a citizen. It means that you have a different motivation for serving. You don't serve out of fear, you serve out of love. Think about it. Many people who are not Christians keep the law, and they do it because they're afraid of the consequences if they don't. In other words, they're motivated by fear. But as God's free people, we submit as an act of worship to our Heavenly Father. And so we are motivated by love. Let me put it like this. If you submit because otherwise they'll kill you, that's fear. But if you submit because Jesus was killed for you and you're devoted to him, that's love, and it's a life of freedom. You see, there is the Christian distinctive, that you submit to authority, but not for authority. You submit for the Lord. As Peter puts it in verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And you know what that does? It makes us better citizens. It means that you won't just carry a Roman soldier's pack for 1 mile because the law says you have to. It means you will carry it the extra mile because you're not doing it for him, you're doing it for the Lord, and you're serving in love. That was exactly the illustration Peter heard Jesus give in the Sermon on the Mount. You see, this is Christian living on the front foot, taking the initiative in serving society by doing all the good we can as a citizen, not being grudgingly dutiful and saying, oh, I suppose so if I really have to. but serving gladly, serving willingly. Here's the irony. What enables us to be such good citizens and to serve society well is verse 11, that we are foreigners and exiles. We know that this world isn't our home, and therefore this world doesn't control us. We aren't depending on this world to give us all our happiness and satisfaction. And that sets us free to live boldly, to live recklessly, to live without fear, in order to serve other people with abandonment. We don't have to live nervously. We don't have to live defensively. We are God's free people. So forget that old ridiculous jibe about being so heavenly minded, you're no earthly use. The boot is on the other foot, says Peter. It's those who are most heavenly minded, those who are most certain of their home in heaven, of their inheritance kept safe for them. It's those people who are of most use here on earth. C.S. Lewis wrote about this in Mere Christianity. I wonder if you're familiar with this quotation. It's quite well known. He writes, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. It's since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffectual in this. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither." Well, that is what Peter is saying. He is saying, submit yourselves to every human authority, but live as God's free people so that you actually serve gladly, you serve joyfully, you go the extra mile, you prove to be the best citizens in society. And here's why it matters, and with this we'll close. It matters because, verse 15, it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant and foolish talk, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. God calls us to silence our critics, but not by killing them. That's not the Christian way. We are to silence them by blessing them, by living such good lives. We should be the best citizens in our society. And that good citizenship may include political involvement, especially in a democracy. We can serve governments by speaking out when they're making mistakes. We're free to influence government through elections, through lobbying, through campaigning, through petitions. We can try to make our voice heard in the public square. But even if our voice as Christians is ignored, our good works will continue to speak loudly. One of the reasons why the gospel spread so quickly in the Roman world and conquered that empire was that the sheer goodness of the lives of the early Christians. One of the first things that the early Christians did was go to the city rubbish dump and rescue the babies who had been left there unwanted to die. The Christians took them home and raised them as their own children, often despite the poverty of their own lives. They helped other Christians in poverty, and they cared for non-Christians who were in poverty too. They welcomed the outcast, they welcomed the stranger, they welcomed the homeless. They provided shelter when people's homes were destroyed in earthquakes. And most crucially and strikingly of all, when plague struck the Roman Empire, as they often did, and everybody else fled and they left the sick, even their own family members, they left them behind to die. The Christians stayed and they cared for people, they nursed people, because they themselves were not afraid of sickness and death, because they knew they had a better hope in Jesus Christ. All those things the Christians did, and they did them not because they were paid to do them. They didn't do them because it was their job. They didn't do them because they were on some kind of contract to do them. They did them freely as God's free people, and they did them in love. Now, all those things set them apart by a country mile from their pagan neighbors. And so the non-Christians said, "What is it that drives these Christians, that they do so much good at such cost to themselves? And of course, what was happening was these Christians were proving the reality of the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, transforming them, giving them a new heart. Their sacrificial living caused the gospel to spread. Interestingly, a growing number of Western intellectuals who in the past have been so scathing about our Christian heritage are now beginning to look at the history of the Western world and reappraise Christian culture. And they are realizing that nearly every good thing that has come to Western culture has its origins in the Christian gospel. And as a result, many of them are beginning to say, we wish that Christianity were true, even if they're not yet convinced. Now it's our task to pray and to work that they may come to see that it is true. And some of them are, and they are being converted. This is a glorious thing. You will not hear about this on the BBC, but it is happening. It's been going on for a number of years. If you would like to pursue that and read a good short article on it, there was one just a few days ago on the Gospel Coalition website. If you go to May the 15th, Gospel Coalition website, an article by Justin Bass on why Western intellectuals are dreaming Christian dreams. Fascinating article. Our good works speak even when people don't want to hear our words. Even in Corsham, it was brilliant this past week to see Corsham Town Council commending our Super Friday ministry on Facebook. But being a good citizen doesn't have to mean organizing some big ministry. Even our daily attitude speaks volumes. That's why Peter closes in verse 17 with these staccato commands: show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Peter's saying that as we live in awe of God, we will love one another deeply in the church, and that's a great witness, but our love won't stop there. We will show honor to everybody because all people are made in the image of God. Now, in a society like ours, which is too often characterized by demeaning insults and scathing comments, imagine the impact it would make if we were treating everybody with dignity. Think of the difference that would make in politics, on the road, in the workplace, in the home, in the school, on Facebook. It's massive. Let me sum up briefly for you what Peter's been saying to us in this passage. His message is this: submit yourselves to every human authority, but do it for the Lord's sake, as God's free people. And then the goodness of your lives in society will at least go some way towards silencing the lies of people who slander you as Christians. That's Peter's message to us. Do you know how you will become that kind of person? It's not by trying harder to be a good citizen. It's by focusing on Christ and on God's love for you in him, because that's what changes our hearts. And Peter is saying that when you have a heart like Jesus Christ, you can live in this world and bring to it a touch of the world to come. Let's pray. Sovereign God, you order our lives according to your love. Help us by your Holy Spirit to live in society in a way that shows your goodness and draws others to our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Two questions for reflection and action. First, a broad one. Where do you find it hardest to submit to authority, and how does the gospel help you? Where do you find it hardest to submit to authority, and how does the gospel help you? And the second question is very specific, and it's getting specific that enables us to grow as a Christian. You really need to massage the truth of God's word into the details of your life. So to help us get specific, We'll look at verse 17 and try to apply it. You see, Peter gives specific guidance for living well in society in verse 17. So here's the second question or second issue for reflection. Look at the details of verse 17. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Here's the question. How are each of these working out in your life? Now be specific. Think about the past week. Where were those things shown in your life in the past week? Or where did you fail in any of those things in the past week? And how can the gospel motivate you, change you, make a difference? God bless you, brothers and sisters. The peace of the Lord be with you all.